From the heart of the Gator Nation, Gainesville, Florida, this is Under the Radar with Travis McClellan.
All right, so it's been about a year, actually even more than a year, since I've done one of these shows. Sorry it's been so long. Hopefully, if you're listening to this, you've been waiting for this next one. So, this is going to be part four in my making of series. And this is for my fourth album, The Wonderful World of Multi-Track Recording. So, as in all of the other episodes, I am going to go through this album and play each song and then kind of tell you a little bit about how they came to be and how I recorded them and all of that kind of stuff. So, hope you're interested in hearing that. And here we go. Alright, so here is the first song off of The Wonderful World of Multi-Track Recording, and it is called, appropriately, Welcome. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to the wonderful world of multi-track recording. My name is Travis and I will be your guide today through this journey of audio bliss. Please keep all hands and arms inside the vehicle at all times. No flash photography is permitted. Neither is smoking. Please listen to everything I tell you religiously or you will be ejected from the ride. You will fall to a horrible death 10,000 feet below you and you will land on bloody spikes. And all because you failed to listen. Please secure all belongings properly below the seat. They will not be returned to you if you leave them. We will keep them. We will dangle them above your forehead and horribly taunt you for the rest of your life. Just to inform you, all of your information has been stolen. We are going to show up at your house very soon and horribly murder your family. Keep that in mind. This. There are millions of other albums out there you could be listening to right now. But instead, you wasted your time on this. Ha ha.
Okay, so that whole thing, at the time, I was a pretty big fan of theme parks. That's not to say that I don't enjoy theme parks now, just not quite as much, maybe because I have just done everything that there is to do concerning them, at least where I live, or most of what there is to do, and it's old news now, but it's still fun every once in a while. Anyways, so at the time, you know, they always have that kind of speech before you go on a ride or something that tells you all of these safety concerns and warnings, and you're like, why are they even telling us this? This is just common sense stuff. So I decided I would have a speech like that to begin my album and just kind of ramble on and on about stupid things that don't make any sense and, you know, emulate what they did. So anyway, that's really, there's not too much to say about that track. The music is just kind of something I came up with, just messing around with the bass and the drums, and you know, I fused that together with the idea to make a safety warning kind of thing, and that was how that album begins. So next, we're gonna play the second track, which is called Lost in the Sand, which is one that I have recently re-recorded for my upcoming retrospective album, so the new version is a lot better sound quality. Hopefully you will be checking that album out, and you know, if you've never listened to my music before, I hope that this retrospective album might give you a pretty good overview of you know, what it's all about, and you can get an idea if you like it or not. But anyway, this is the second song, and it is called Lost in the Sand.
The
Well, I don't know where I am, but I get lost in the sand, and I guess I won't be coming back no more. Cause I came here with my friends, and it all came to an end, so I guess I will be running out that door. Cause I see you in the sunlight, and it really gets to me. Oh yeah, I know you are there. Cause I see you in the summer, and it really gets to me. Oh yeah, I know you are there. But you're standing over there, and I've just become aware that my name again I'll never hear you mention. Cause I see you in the sunlight, and it really gets to me. Oh yeah, I know you are there. Cause I see you in the summer, and it really gets to me. Oh yeah, I know you are there.
Was Lost in the Sand. Not a whole big story behind that. I went to the beach with my friends one day and we got separated, and while I was looking for them I started making that song up in my head, and decided to make it into a real song when I got home that day. As you may or may not know, I have been heavily influenced by Oasis. And I think that influence kind of comes across a little bit in that song. But outside of that, not a whole bunch else going on there. So now I guess we'll get ready for track number 3, which is called Kicked to the Curb.
And her new boyfriend is a real
All right, so that was track number 3, Kicked to the Curb. That song is about an ex-girlfriend of mine and the person that she ended up going out with after me, which is why she is my ex-girlfriend. And the way that I envisioned their relationship's likely demise. I really don't know if it worked out like that or not, but they aren't together now, so I guess something must have happened. But anyways, that song kind of goes back to my pop punk roots, I guess, if you want to call it that. I used my Squier Stratocaster on that song, which I don't have anymore, but was my main guitar. I think it was the second electric guitar that I ever owned, and I had that from, I believe, either middle school or early high school, all the way up through, midway through college, maybe. And I sold it to my buddy John Forsman, who probably isn't listening to this, but if he is, he's got that guitar. Anyways, that's really the story of that song. Not a whole lot to say. So now we'll move on to track number 4.
Looks like I've gone away and left it all behind, thinking that I'll be back someday. The question is, will you be there or anywhere inside? Would I be better off if I just stayed? Well, I've got nowhere to go, I'm on a one-way road. These cars keep running up and down, keep on running down this one-way road. God can tell me now where I am bound. So how are you making out on your journey down the road? Just try not to move ahead too fast. Always remember the words on the sign, 'cause you know one way means you cannot go back. Well, I've got nowhere to go, I'm on a one-way road. These cars keep running up and down, keep on running down this one-way road. Only God can tell me now where I am bound.
All right, so track number 4, One Way. Not a whole lot to say about this song. It's kind of one of those filler songs, I guess. I wrote this album shortly after I moved to South Carolina after graduating high school. So I don't know. I guess at the time I was just kind of thinking like, well, you know, what's done is done. This is, you know, one way street kind of thing, and I don't know. That's probably also one of those songs that was better in theory than it actually turned out to be in reality. That is not going to be on the retrospective album. Didn't make the cut. So if you want to hear it, you got to hear it on this album or on this podcast. Yeah, not too much to say about that one. So, I guess next we'll move on to track number 5. That was One Blade to Freedom, track number 5 on the wonderful world of multi-track recording. Well, I recorded this album when I was 18 years old, fresh out of high school. We had moved to South Carolina, which is far away from where I was living the entirety of my life before that in Florida. And I didn't really know anybody up there at the time or had a job or anything. So those were kind of, lonely times in my life. I was just kind of stuck in my house all day. And all I could really do was go to school and come home. I didn't have any money to go do anything. I didn't have any friends to go do anything with or anything. So, and then, you know, some of the people I kept in touch with, sometimes you don't really get to talk to them, or, you know, if you do, maybe you fight or something, and it seems like things are not going right in your life, and that kind of made me contemplate not having a life anymore. I guess it, you know, seems a little melodramatic in retrospect, but, you know, sometimes things seem different when you look back on them. All of these albums, part of the series included, on the technical side of things, when I listen to that, I feel like if I was more talented or had better resources, that these songs could be better. like the way that they sound in my head sounds better than when I listen to them in their final form as on the record. But I guess there's not really a whole lot you can do with that. So I don't know. It is what it is. I hope you enjoy it. And I'll just keep doing it. And that's that. All right. Well, next we're going to talk about track number 6, which is called It's All Right. And I'm going to play it right now. Okay, well, that was track number 6, It's All Right. I guess I'm going to probably have the same technical feedback for a lot of these songs where, you know, it's one of those, like, sounded better in my head when I was writing it. And like I said, for probably, you know, some of these other songs, where I feel like if I would have had more expertise and better resources and all of that, these records might sound a lot different than they do. But at the time, you know, I was a teenager, didn't really, you know, have a lot of money or access to a whole lot of resources. So I kind of made do with what I had, and, you know, this is the end result. So who knows, maybe if I get a chance to re-record some of these, which I kind of am with this retrospective album I've been working on, if it ever finishes, you know, you can maybe get a better idea of what I had in mind versus what I was able to produce. But anyway, so this, the subject matter of that song, at this point in my life, if you knew me around the time that these albums were being written and recorded, you probably already know that I went through, at the time, a pretty painful breakup, and it was, you know, it was a big thing in my life for a little while. And when I wrote this song, I had just met a new girl who became my girlfriend and is now my wife. And this song was just kind of like me realizing, like, it doesn't really matter what happened in the past. I'm going to just put it behind me and move on. And so that's what that song's about. I recorded that on my Epiphone Casino guitar, which was a new guitar to me at that time. I don't have it anymore. Kind of wish I did, but that was a nice guitar for a little while. So that's a nice little technical tidbit. And one thing I was thinking about when we were listening to the last song is the bass playing on this record in particular. I tried to make an effort to make the bass tracks kind of differ a little bit from the guitar tracks, because up until this point, and I mean even now, I'm not really that imaginative of a bass player, and I thought that might help kind of make the record sound better. It was also a little bit inspired by my friend Joey DiStefano, who you actually have heard on this podcast before. And, I remember when we used to play together, he would play bass with me and guitar and all kinds of stuff. But I always liked the way that he added a little extra to the song, and I was trying to emulate that a little bit. But anyway, that's all for that song. Next song up on the list is a song called Clear the Roads. So we will listen to that next.
I'm on my way back home. I'm sitting out in the roads. I'm on my way back home. Well, I'm waiting for so long to be on my own. Spread my wings, I'm gonna fly away. I'm sitting down with my wings, I'm gonna fly away. Well, I'm sitting down next to you and play my guitar all day. Clear the roads, I'm on my way back home. I'm sitting down, clear the roads. I'm on my way back home. Well, I've waited for so long to be on my own. Spread my wings, I'm gonna fly away. I said now, spread my wings, I'm gonna fly away. Well, I'll sit down next to you and play my guitar all day. Wow!
All right, that was Clear the Roads, track number 7 from the wonderful world of multi-track recording. Well, like I was telling you earlier in the podcast here, I recorded this album in South Carolina after I had moved up there after high school. And, like I had mentioned, I didn't really enjoy that time in my life all that much. I mean, don't get me wrong, I wanted to be with my family and everything, but it was tough to move to a new place after having spent my entire life somewhere else. As you might imagine, I really enjoyed when I was able to visit Florida and come home. And so that's kind of what that song's about, that I'm going home. As far as the technical side of that, I don't know if it's technical, but the way I write a lot of songs is you just kind of, mess with your guitar or something, you play something that sounds kind of cool and you develop it, and that's how that came about. And I thought it sounded kind of, I don't know if retro is the word or whatever, but kind of a little bit of a different style than was popular at the time, so I decided to go with it, and I still think it sounds pretty cool. I'm pretty sure I recorded that with my Squier Stratocaster, which I do not have anymore.
I don't think I have any of the guitars I used on this record anymore. Like I was talking about, the last song was my Casino, which I also don't have anymore. The Squire was a guitar that I got when I was about 14 or so. And it was nice. I liked it. But anyway, that song's about visiting Florida. And I was, I guess, you know, mentioning how it sounded kind of vintage. I guess I was trying to make the vocal sound a little vintage as well, or retro, or throwback, or whatever buzzword you want to use that means old. But anyway, that's it. So next up will be track number 8, which was also recorded with that Squire Stratocaster. And it's called Bad Day Blues. Okay, here he goes. All right, that was it. Bad Day Blues. I was thinking about it during the song, and I actually do have one of the guitars that I used on this record, and that is my Fender Stratocaster, which I upgraded to from the Squire. So I was wrong about that. However, that one was used with the Squire Stratocaster. I was kind of proud of that song at the time because I had never really written... I don't want to say never, but I hadn't done much in the blues kind of style, and I always thought that was kind of neat. And I guess it's not like a super impressive solo or anything, but for me, I don't do a whole lot of soloing, so I was proud of the fact that it kind of sort of resembled a solo. That opening riff was pretty cool. It was, or to me anyway. So. What that song was about, you know, it's about having a bad day. I think that particular time, I had gone out to, I was supposed to meet up with some people to see about joining their band. And it seemed like they just kind of put me on a wild goose chase because I couldn't find the place they were talking about to go to, and they wouldn't pick up the phone when I was trying to call them or something. I don't know. It could have just been a coincidence, or maybe they were messing with me. I don't know. But it was just kind of a bad day in general. So I wrote that song about it. That's pretty much it for that song. Not a whole lot to say. As I was saying with these other songs, kind of a familiar critique, but, you know, the quality of the recording probably could have been better. But it is what it is. Hopefully this retrospective, or not hopefully, I know it's going to sound a lot better than the original recordings, but I'm hoping that might give people a better idea of the original vision I had versus what the vision versus what the final product was. All right, so now we're moving on to track number 9, which is called Escape.
Waking up from the same old dreams, yeah. I can't sleep cause there's too much on my mind. Keep thinking that I don't wanna be here, but a way out is hard to find. So show me where you're at, show me where you're from, show me where we're going, how far we have to run. Come and run with me, yeah, help me get away, help me find my calling, cause I'm in disarray. Fall asleep, watch the world disappear, yeah. All my problems are no longer here. I'm gonna sleep with the world on my shoulders. When I wake up, the storm will be over. So show me where you're at, show me where you're from, show me where you're going, how far I have to run. Come and run with me, yeah, help me get away, help me find my calling, cause I'm in disarray.
All right, that is Escape. Oh, that's just another song about how I didn't really want to live in South Carolina. That's most of it. I don't remember which guitar I used for that song. I do remember after it was over thinking that it sounded vaguely like my old buddies, the Groovniks, one of their songs, which I don't remember the exact name of, but I think it was called Riot or something like that. I don't know, sometimes you listen to stuff and it just kind of floats around in your brain, comes out in song. So maybe I stole it from them, I don't know. Yeah, nothing too special to say about that one. So I guess we'll move on to the next one, which is called X-Ray. X spelled with an E-X. Here we go. Sound the alarm, there's something going down. Don't know what it is, but it's sure to hang around. No one believes in us. Can't seem to earn your trust. I don't know what you want from.
make you happy. And I just want to take it slow. I just want to go on laughing. Whatever we have to find out, we will soon go. I know sometimes that I get in the way. I don't always know the perfect things to say. But I only want to protect. My heart and save my. Make you happy. I just want to take it slow. I just want to go on laughing. Yeah, I just want to go on laughing. Yeah, I just want to make you happy.
All right, that was track number 10, X-Ray. I don't even really know why I call it X-Ray. I think I just thought that was creative at the time to have X as an EX instead of the letter X. As you can probably tell by listening to the lyrics of that song, I was having some relationship issues at the time with the aforementioned new girlfriend who is now my wife. Which is another thing that complicated my living in South Carolina and ultimately prompted me to move back to Florida, and now the rest is kind of history. But that's really what that song was about, and I recorded that on my casino as well, using an effect that was supposed to simulate an acoustic guitar. I don't know if it really sounded like an acoustic all that much, but it had an interesting tone to it, so I went with it. And that was it. So the next one coming up is a song called Boiling Point. And this is just a kind of a warning here if you are listening to this with anybody who might be upset by foul language. This song has a certain use of the F word a lot. So, I just be forewarned. Not a lot of my songs have that kind of language in them, but this one does. So just FYI. Okay. Anyway, so that's pretty much the story with X-Ray. The reason it was called X-Ray, I guess I was just worried that our relationship might fall apart and she would become an X, which kind of sort of happened, but not really for long. So, all right, anyway, here's the next song. It's called Boiling Point.
Well, I fucking hate you. Don't try to fuck with me no more. That's it, I fucking hate you. Don't try to fuck with me no more. That's it, I fucking hate you. Don't try to fuck with me no more. That's it, I fucking hate you. Don't try to fuck with me no more. That's it, you fucking people. Always seem to be the hand that holds me down. I cannot stand it. Soon you will learn that I don't fuck around. I left it over. Didn't say a word, just kept on passing through. But then you followed. Throw the fuck away, I can't stand any more of you. And I fucking hate you. Don't try to fuck with me no more. That's it, I fucking hate you. Don't Don't try to fuck with me no more. That's it, I fucking hate you. Don't try to fuck with me no more. That's it, I fucking hate you. Don't try to fuck with me no more. That's everything was fine for everybody else. But when it comes to me, you keep me honest. Yes, it's kinda suck. It happens in the gym. I'm trying to keep you down, but soon I'll murder you. Now you seem surprised. It is what I said, but you're ignoring the signs. I showed you everything, now the end of you. And you got no refuse before you're at the last. The death becomes you, and I fucking hate you. Don't try to fuck with me no more, and that's it, I fucking hate you. Don't try to fuck with me no more, and that's it, I fucking hate you. Don't try to fuck with me no more, and that's it, I fucking hate you. Don't try to fuck with me no more, and that's it.
Alright, that was track number 11, Boiling Point. So that one, I guess I was kind of angry when I wrote that song, but during the course of writing it, I just thought it was kind of funny, so I kind of switched focus to just see how many times I could say the word fuck in a song, I guess. Which also was kind of liberating, because as I mentioned, a lot of my songs don't really have cursing in them. Not that I'm afraid to curse or anything. I just feel like it's something that shouldn't really be done unless the song really calls for it. But on that song, it is very liberally used. It's just, and then, you know, some of the song, like the verses, I don't even finish singing or whatever. And most of the time, I mean, I'll admit I'm pretty lazy when it comes to recording. Sometimes, you know, like I might not have the best performance, but I'm just so tired of doing takes and takes and takes that I just say whatever, good enough. That one, however, was kind of intentional, because it's supposed to be like you're so blinded with rage you can't even make sure that the verses are sung right and all that. It's just, you just have to get this song finished. So anyway, that song is kind of half joking and half serious. That was Boiling Point. Now we're going to take a trip back to the beginning of the record, and this song is called Advertisement, which is kind of a reprise of the opening track called Welcome. So here's that one.
Did you ever notice how hard it is to get a job? Or how girls all like the same music? Or how everybody that watches TRL is all part of a mindless cult? Well, if you would like to break away from these daily trials, buy this record. Not publicized by any major publications. Not reviewed by anyone. Not even paid attention to by any living soul on this planet. This is the perfect underground hit for you. At the bargain price of free. Well, maybe not free. Depends on how much money you have. And how badly you desire to own a copy of this audio bliss. Yes, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. You too can own a piece of this record. Hell, you can even own the whole thing. It'll come straight through your stereo and infect your ears with the best music around. Well, actually, it's not really that great. In fact, why are you even listening to this? There are millions of other albums out there you could be listening to right now. But instead, you wasted your time on this. Ha ha.
All right, well, that was a reprise of the first track, Welcome. As I mentioned, at that point in my life, and even still now, but back then, I had started going to theme parks a lot, and that speech is sort of inspired by all the little warnings they give you when you get on the tram or the rides or whatever. So that's really all that is, and I decided I'd make a little joke advertisement, I guess, for this record. For you younger listeners out there, sometimes I like to pretend like people actually listen to this. Theoretically, let's say somebody's listening to this, which I find that hard to believe, but so I mentioned TRL. For anybody who doesn't know what that is, that's a show that was on MTV back in the late 90s and early 2000s. where they would take requests for music videos when they actually had music videos on music television. And anyway, they tended to have a lot of trendy and popular music videos, as you might have guessed. And so I guess it's a little dated reference now, but the sentiment is still the same. A lot of people that consume mass media like that are, can be a little bit like a mindless cult. Anyways, not a whole lot to say about that track. The little bass line and all that, I think I woke up with that in my head one day, or I dreamed it or something, and I just decided to make a song out of it. I think the bass I use, well, actually, I know the bass I use for that is my Squier Precision bass, because that's the only bass that I have or have ever had. So that narrows it down. Yeah, so that's that. Now we are coming to the final track of this album, which is called We'll Always Have the Magic. And I'll play it now. Here it goes.
We'll always have the magic. Our early morning trips while cruising down at 95, I'd watch you move your lips to tell me of all of the love that you had, all the things we could do on that day. And we'll always have the magic when all else is fading away. The music we drove so far to hear, just at a moment's notice, we would travel throughout the year with dreams of stardom in our eyes and role models in front of our face. And we'll always have the music when there's nothing left to embrace. But maybe it's better this way. And we'll always have the memories, 'cause all else is fading away. Yeah, we'll always have the memories, 'cause all else has faded away.
All right, that was the last song, We'll Always Have the Magic. That song actually kind of has three kind of stories in one song. Starts off with, actually, it's about driving to Disney World with my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time. And originally, I was going to call that song We'll Always Have Orlando, because we went to Orlando a lot. And like I said, at the time, things were a little rocky. Wasn't sure if we were going to make it or not. So I said, well, you know, we always have this. And then I decided to call it We'll Always Have the Magic, referring to Disney World. Thought that sounded a little better. The second verse is about my friend Joe. Joe Onimus. And how we used to go to concerts and whatnot. And how, you know, I moved away. I didn't really think I'd ever see him again.
Unfortunately, so far that's kind of been true. I haven't seen him much since I moved away from there, but we're still friends, and maybe that'll change. Who knows? The third verse is about my friend Angie and the other person that it's about is the girl that I had a bad breakup with. And it wasn't even necessarily about breaking up, as we were friends before we had ever dated. So that was just kind of about how the same kind of thing, how like even though things didn't turn out, it didn't turn out good in the end, you know, I'm still glad that we knew each other and had the friendships that we had for those few years. So that's about it. I used my casino on that with that acoustic simulator, which, you know, again, doesn't really sound much like an acoustic, but it sounds kind of neat. And I kind of like that song because I feel like the sound came out pretty decent compared to some of the other things that I've recorded. And I got to play the harmonica, which was kind of new for me. And I thought it sounded pretty decent. I usually like to just mess around with all kinds of different instruments. You know, I don't think I would say I've mastered any of them, but if I can learn, you know, a little bit on each one or something, maybe I'll try and work them into a song. And so I actually, that harmonica is a cheap harmonica that I think I got at like Dave and Buster's or something like that, with like you win tickets from the arcade games, and I just thought it'd be cool to put it on a song. So I guess that's really about it for that whole album. I don't remember when I started recording this podcast, but it is now about halfway into January of 2018. So it has definitely been a while since I've done a proper podcast, which I'm going to try to work on in this new year. I want to at least try to get a new episode every month if I can. Sometimes it's not that easy to do, juggling parenting and work and all of that stuff. But I want to try to make some time for this and see where it goes. So anyway, that's all for that album. We really only have one more album left in this series, which is would be my fifth album and my latest one to date, which isn't all that new anymore because I finished it in 2004, but it's called Broken Hearted and the Angel's Wings, and it'll be good to finish that up and kind of move on with this podcast in a different direction. I'm not really sure what else I'm going to talk about when this series is over, but hopefully I'll come up with something. So I hope you've enjoyed listening to this and the past episodes. You know, if you haven't listened to the past episodes before, they're all there on iTunes, or, you know, you can just subscribe to the feed. However you access podcasts, they should all be there. If you have any comments or suggestions or questions, you can tweet at the show. It's at @UnderTheRadarPC. You can email the show, which is, it shows how frequently I actually use this stuff. I believe it's UnderTheRadarPC@gmail.com. I don't have a website anymore, but there is a Facebook page. It's Under the Radar with Travis McLeod. You can always comment there. And if you actually do have a comment or question or whatever, go ahead and utilize one of those methods, and I'll get to them on the next episode. So I hope everybody's having a great new year so far and you've enjoyed listening to these episodes, and I'll try to get some more out there, and I'll see you next time.